Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop. So today we are going to be talking about social etiquette. And this is a huge thing because we all have certain pet peeves that just drive us crazy when we come to a social gathering. People are playing with their phones, or it's too loud, or they're talking really loud. There are so many things to simple social etiquette that children are not even being taught anymore.
That's true.
So that is going to be our subject matter today. This is going to be a good one, guys. So much fun. Okay, so any one of you can start. I don't care who wants to start. But what is one of your biggest social etiquette pet peeves?
Oh, I've got a laundry list. As someone with OCD and ADD, yeah. I've got such a laundry list. You know, when we first started talking about, you know, the concept of this first show prep, when Toby and I go out to a restaurant, something that just makes my eye twitch a little bit, if we're sitting there eating and we're spending a lot of money on a meal, you know, I want to be able to interact with friends at my table or people at my table, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. But then there's the person back here that's got his phone all the way up and he's flipping through the Facebook, mm-hmm. or it's like intruding in my ears and I can't
focus.
Yeah, you can't pay attention, you can't interact, and it's very distracting to me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. On the tails of that, I will say that there's actually a whole very, very, very recent wave of psychology and statistics that are showing that when you go out to dinner with your family and you spend the entire time sitting there on your phone texting or playing mm-hmm. the games or whatever, listen, it doesn't matter if you also give a phone to your child. Here's the thing. There's something in psychology called the serve and return interactions. Mm-hmm. And what they're discovering is that it's a literal human to human, not human to mom who's distracted by a cell phone.
Right.
That there's this connection that happens during their earliest psychological developmental years. So their ability to properly communicate and connect with other human beings like them is actually being stunted. There's also an early onset depression, early onset social disability that can come into play when a child who's especially in the developmental years, but a child of any age, a 15-year-old is sitting there saying, "Mom, I'm going through some serious stuff. I need your attention."
Right.
And they're trying to get your attention. You're like, "Hang on, honey." There's a social disability that sets in, and it goes so much further than people are even right now knowing. Because let me tell you this, the statistics and the research that we have now is very young.
Right.
Because we are only just now at the very beginning cusp of the damage that devices between human beings are doing. So the servant response interaction from a very early age, what you're saying is that it's rude when somebody won't turn the volume down because they're sitting there. But to me, my heart breaks if I sit there. And listen, I'm talking about an extreme case. I'm not suggesting that if you answer a text while you're out with your family that you're doing anything wrong.
Of course. No.
But extreme paying attention to a device with your children that are needing you, listen, know your children, not your phone.
Yeah.
That needs to be on a shirt.
Oh, that's
yes.
good.
Yes.
Well, I preach that one all the time, too. It's like you have to know your children and know what they are doing even on said devices. Yeah. Like when Thomas and Becca, to a degree, were really little, I was the mom that occasionally would just give them the phone so that they could be quiet for a while so I could have an actual conversation with an adult. We don't do that anymore. It's like, okay, they need to learn how to sit there. Because when I was a child, I learned to sit there and be a part of the conversation or at least listen in or start playing with my straw.
Right.
You know, coming up with something with my straw or the paper that came off of the straw. Yeah. You figure things out. Exactly. But you learn it's part of social etiquette.
Yes.
Being quiet while the adults are talking.
Bouncing off of that, though, I think that everybody needs to learn. For somebody who doesn't have kids, you don't realize how hard it can be sometimes to keep those children entertained.
Oh, yeah.
When you're not trying to push something like screen time in front of them and you're trying to get them enveloped into conversation and get them socially, you know, trained in this environment to get them prepared for, you know, reality.
Oh, of course.
when you make it harder on a parent, why won't you shush your kid? Your kid is being too loud. Why can't you keep your kid quiet?
Yep.
You are making it 10 times harder on us to do our jobs of being a good parent.
I agree. Because I've had that happen to me as well. And why do the kids always wait till you're in the restaurant or the store?
You were so quiet in the car. Why are you screaming at the top of your lungs now? The mac and cheese is coming. The mac and cheese is coming.
It's never been easy as a mom, you know, okay, you got to be quiet. You know, you were trying to just kind of quiet them that way instead of like if you were at home. One, they probably wouldn't be acting up that way in the first place because now they're in public and they want to...
They kind of learn that.
They do. Yeah, it's like when you're on the phone. It's like, honey, I'm actually on the phone because I have to take this call.
Oh, that's the other
time.
And
they always do that when you're on the phone or when you're actually preoccupied. They have that radar. Yep. Oh, mom and dad are trying to have a conversation. Right. Oh, mom is on the phone. Oh, dad is on the phone. They're perfectly fine watching the TV show or playing in their room or doing whatever it is until...
Yeah.
They have the radar for that. It's crazy. Yeah. But it does make it very tricky. Mm-hmm. The one that really makes me upset, though, is I don't really care if the kids are crying. Sometimes, you know, you hear one that's just throwing a fit and you can tell it's a fit. Yeah. But I never judge that mom because I'm like, dude, I'm sorry about you. I've been there so many times. And not just that, I'm so sorry for you.
Moms help other moms. You can always tell when there's a mom in the room. And I've even done it for other moms as well. Like there's been times where I've been in the grocery line and the woman behind me, her child is screaming or acting up and she's trying to get groceries out or she's dealing with another child. Mm-hmm. That I'll sit there and just smile and laugh at the child or, you know, play the finger puppets and just distract them, trying to help the other mom out.
You're also speaking to the mother as if you understand what is going on and it gives their comfort.
And there's been times where there's been no spoken words between me and that mom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just understood.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Body language said it all. Yeah.
Yes.
I have to just say I had the best raising ever when it comes to things like social etiquette. Mm-hmm. Props to mom, because I never even realized it until I had kids of my own and I'd have these moments and I'm like, why would you say that? You're in public right now. Why are you? It occurred to me. I was like, oh, I've never told them not to do that.
Exactly.
I just, you know, you make mistakes as a parent and you learn later on, duh, they need to be told not to do this
or
that.
Don't do the thing.
Don't do the thing. My mom was so good at knowing to tell us not to do the thing. Well, we grew up, there was always this, if Joe were here, he would be laughing on panel with me, but there was always this, shh. That mom would do. It's just like that too. Shh. She would nod and pat her hand. What that meant was whatever it is you're about to say, the rude thing that you're about to blurt out, the thing. Mm-hmm. It was a gentle correction, but it let us know the way mom is reacting, something is not socially okay right now. This is a no. Mm-hmm. But perfect.
Yes. Hard no.
We had that. And so growing up, there was a lot of, like, I'm reading about this stuff that I was saying earlier, the fact that the serve and return interactions can develop the neurons in the brain responsible for language skills and communication.
Mm-hmm.
My mom listened to us kids. So if you're talking about social etiquette, can we just start with the home real quick?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
There's a lot that can be said about social etiquette outside the home. We're in a shopping mall. Don't do this. Don't touch that. Blah, blah, blah. Put your elbows on the table. Sit up straight. Whatever. All the things. But out of all the things and all the ones, my mom, I have to give props where props is due. We learned that in the home.
Yeah.
So by the time we left the home and we were at church or, you know, toy store or whatever, we generally knew. We were not allowed to run rampant in it. Again, like I just said a minute ago, my mom was never that. You get back here. You have a thing to learn. And da-da-da. It was never this, like, you know, those cranky moms like you see on, you know, the Disney movies where you're like, the mom is cranky and the dad's never there. It was never like that. So what I learned naturally, I later on as a parent learned, doesn't come naturally. It has to be taught.
It's taught.
So props to mom. That whole, that whole thing.
Yes. Yes. Well, I will say that there is a new wave of, if you've ever heard of gentle parenting, there are pros and cons to it. There are some things.
It works for parents that don't have strong-willed children.
Exactly.
And all four of mine are very strong-willed.
Yeah. There are. Now,
exactly.
I have very strong-willed children, too. Eden is my, wee butt head sometimes. We butt heads. We are one and the same. She is definitely a mini me, and I regret everything I did to my mother now. It's definitely come around. But I will say that there are certain things in gentle parenting that I have taken and I have reconstructed to fit my child.
Oh, sure.
Because once again, strong-willed child, but it has helped. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the, instead of taking the authoritative, you know, if you don't do this, I'm going to spank you and do this and right. do that right. and do this. Instead of taking the time and sitting down and getting on their level and saying, okay, let's talk this out for a minute before you take right. that. Okay, you're not listening. There's nothing else I can do. Let's look at a different angle now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's things like that that has helped that I have found with my child, and every child is different, that has helped with her social etiquette sure. as well. And yeah. growing her up and raising her up with a social etiquette that has helped.
Because absolutely. You're communicating with her and treating
the communication
her like,
and not playing it, on my phone 24/7.
Right. Right. Well, that's yeah. why I love it when Charisse always calls her littles tiny humans. And I've used mm-hmm. that, too, because so many times, especially yeah. with little kids,
yeah.
we forget that they are human yeah. and they are learning. They have to test those bounds
exactly.
so that they know what those boundaries are.
Yeah. Well, the other part of what you're saying there is about the tiny human, as you put mm-hmm. it, is that I think that as a mom, I mean, I made a lot of mistakes. It's wonderful to hear my kids say nice things, but I did make mistakes. But one of the things I always told myself is to remember that it doesn't matter the size of the body, there's a little tiny human in there mm-hmm. that has feelings.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And they are trying to put things together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was 18 months old, I was born with a cleft palate, and I had to go in for surgery to get that all corrected. And it was one of these experimental surgeries, so they weren't sure, but they told my mom, when you drop her off, you cannot come back.
Oh.
You cannot talk to her. She is just, you don't exist in her world. So I got to tell you, I'm 18 months old. I have everything in this little nursery that they could provide for me. Popcorn, pop rock toys, and,
yep.
you know, they changed my diapers. I remember it all. And Jell-O and ice cream. But the whole time, down somewhere in my deep, deep psyche, there was something going on where it was called abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
I have never heard that word, did not even know the word existed. Yeah. But the emotion was already beginning to develop. Where's my mom?
Where'd she go?
Why am I here? Mm-hmm. Why does nobody care? I mean, I'm being cared for.
Yeah,
of course.
But what happened to my mom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I remember the day that when my mom finally came up, I remember I'm pushing one of these little popcorn poppers, toddling around in my little diaper, and I'm having fun and all that. And from behind me, I hear, Nita, and instantly, I threw that thing one way and turned around and I ran and I grabbed her because I could only, to the knees. Mm-hmm. I grabbed her and I just started bawling my head off.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't abandon me. She does remember I'm here. But having said that, little people, yeah. they remember things. And when they're traumatized and when they go through things, when you're yelling at them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the wrong signal, folks.
No, for sure.
Try the gentle approach.
Yeah, there's so
and
many.
And follow up with a little more discipline
absolutely.
If it has
sure.
to happen. Absolutely. But start soft and then get.
Yeah.
We do that with our horses.
Progressive discipline.
Don't we, Kate? Yeah. We start soft. And if they don't listen, it's a little bit mm-hmm. more of a
right.
tap.
A little more tap. Mm-hmm.
Over.
Yeah.
When we're telling you to teach them over, we'll start real soft. Over. And we say the word. If they don't move over, it's a little bit more of a tap. Mm-hmm. Until they're like, okay.
I got it.
They
got
learn it. But
horses
we never
have to learn
them.
Social etiquette too.
They do. No, that is a fact. Well, we won't go there because that's all
that's
still
a whole nother show.
Yes.
But just saying, going back to the tiny little human, and I love that moment that word came into play because yeah. that I think is what mm-hmm. we really and with our kids need to remember is there are little people who have feelings and they don't know.
No.
It's
well,
up to us to help them learn.
No, for sure.
The thing is too is that they don't always because again they have not learned all of the vocabulary.
Right.
They haven't learned the social etiquette. They have not learned how to say, yeah, hey mom,
right.
I'm really feeling angry or mom,
right.
I'm having a really, really bad day.
Right. Right.
So when Thomas is just having meltdown after meltdown and right. after meltdown, yes, it gets tiring and frustrated, but then I do semi-gentle parenting,
yep.
but not quite. But that does stick in the back of my head. I'm like, okay, he's having constant meltdowns. Why is he having a constant meltdown?
Right.
Does he need a hug? Does he need me to just
right.
hold him for a minute? And sometimes that's what I'll do. I'm like, okay, Thomas, come here. I'll put him up on my lap, and we'll just sit there, and I'll just hug on him for a little bit and tell him it's going to be okay and, you know, stroke his little head. And his face or whatever. But, you know, and then that ends up calming him down more than if I was just like, rah, 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 you need to stop and blah, blah, blah. Sometimes just taking that moment, like you said, turning it around a little bit. So I'm not a big basher of gentle parenting because some people use it yes. too
so
much.
Extremes. There's so many, extremes, so many extremes to it.
Yes.
Taking some of the values that it has.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Down to the core.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is something, and like I said, every child is different. You have to find what fits
oh
for
my
your
gosh.
Child. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I had
what
three.
Fits for your child.
All three different mm-hmm. methods.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Well, I won't
yes.
go there.
Go there.
Yeah,
let's go there.
There.
Let's go there.
I'm pointing at Joe. So the audience can see I'm pointing at my son because he spent a lot of time in a corner. And
he was
writing
telling
sentences.
Us the other day about the nose marks in the
yes,
wall.
Yes, that's how we could determine his height. I would measure from the nose mark down. And Donna, I remember one time I went to paddle her with our little paddle, and she was mad at me. I don't work on me, Mom. It makes me angry. It makes me want to be rebellious. And I says, well, then you tell me. So then we took a different method. And I think for her, as she gets to spend a lot of time in her room
all by herself
mm-hmm. and missing having that out of her room thing helped. Allie was the easiest one. She pretty much didn't challenge her at all. But all three. But a quick...
Yeah, Joe.
That
did.
Was you. Sentences, Joe. He still is haunted by those.
Same. Joe is in the audience right now screaming sentences. For the audience member that doesn't know what that reference is to, he was made to sit down and write a sentence over and over and over again, 1,000 or 10,000 times, or depending on
yep.
how bad the thing was he does.
I will be good.
I will be faithful. I will obey. Yeah. Well, that did it for him. It didn't work on me at all. I was too much of an intellect. I was like, oh, reading.
Writing. Too much of an intellect.
Is that what I just said?
Yes.
I love it.
Let me say it again. I was too much of a nerd. I didn't mean to say that.
That's good.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
I love it.
That's good.
Why is my face red?
Let me leave you with a visual just really
That's
quick
great.
That also helped me a lot when I was very early on, and it was Brother Fuller. That we've talked about before, explained to me one day to train up a child.
Mm. Yeah.
And he used this example where you take a little, I don't know if you've ever seen where they take apple trees and they weave them into different shapes mm-hmm. and they put them along a wall and they make these beautiful little apple weavings and it's just trees. But it takes time to do that. As the leaves grow out and the branches, they actually weave them in and out of each other in order for them to make this beautiful little fence full of, sort of like they do grapes, but you have to do that over time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you have to take each little branch while it's soft, put it where it needs to go and then help direct that to grow where you need it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that, when he explained that to me, I thought, yeah, because these kids don't know.
Right.
They have to learn. You have to guide them. You have to help them and you know, nudge them this way or nudge them that
yeah.
way. So that was in the other part. Grandpa Fuller was a great mentor for my husband and I. He was amazing.
On that note, we do need to take a very quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you one of those girls that struggle trying to find the right clothes to wear? Or maybe you're still grappling to achieve that perfect makeup look that suits your style? We'll blossom into a new you this spring season with the Simply His Spring Bundle and receive Candace Cameron Bure's book, Staying Stylish. Discover new ideas to elevate your personal style and closet without breaking the bank. Insider secrets for gorgeous skin, hair, and makeup with easy-to-follow tutorials. Find on-the-go strategies for staying fit and eating well, and personal inspiration for nurturing your faith and finding balance. Plus, so much more. Start that spring cleaning with a boost from our fairly traded, certified organic, lightly roasted Island Girl coffee. This Costa Rican coffee was named by our wonderful Simply His host, Catherine, who says one sip of this coffee has her stepping back in time to her childhood growing up on the islands as a missionary kid. Also included in this package is another one of our host's favorite picks, our Simply His ceramic mug in a beautiful spring shade of purple. And lastly, enjoy a warm spring day with the new Simply His Southern Peach Tea. This fully organic, herbicide and pesticide-free loose leaf tea is a refreshing cup of happiness and is sure to have you relaxing while you watch those gorgeous gardens grow. The Simply His Spring Bundle is available now. With a retail value of over $50, yours now for only $40 plus shipping and handling? Get yours today at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985. Don't miss out!
Continuing our discussion on social etiquette and how that can be such a big pet peeve for people. Donna, you have some statistics on this.
On listening, yes.
Yes.
If we're going to talk about what our absolute number one pet peeve is as far as social etiquette goes, mm-hmm. it's people who act like they're listening, but they're not really listening.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
And so it sounds like what I'm saying is very regular, very common. Everybody knows 10 people that pretend like they're listening when they're not. Mm-hmm. But let me actually show you how much more often this occurs than you realize. So on average, in the West, 20 to 30,000 words per day goes into the head, which means that 55% of our entire 24-hour period day is devoted to listening. Despite that, 17 to 25% only is absorbed, understood, and retained. In addition to that, spoken words only communicate 7% of what a person's intending to say.
Right.
The rest of it is body language, tone, facial expressions, and stuff like
that. Absolutely.
Just to add on to these statistics, with the result now of what this problem is, almost 40% of young men and 30% of young women will not open up and share their concerns because they feel unheard or misunderstood.
Yeah.
One in four American adults feel that they do not have a single close friend to talk to.
Wow. Yep.
And 60% of Americans generally feel alienated or isolated from society and other people. This is because we stand there and listen, it sounds so regular, like she's not really saying anything really articulate, but it's true.
Yeah.
So many people will stand there and their eyes are on you and they're nodding and they're going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what they're doing is they're forming their next sentence that's going to come out of their mouth.
Exactly.
They're not really listening to what you are going through, how you're feeling, what you're actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
That disturbs me because it's the result of that.
Yeah.
You're looking at more people relying on more devices, just like we talked about earlier, to continue society forward. It is a social disability that we are really, honestly, self-inflicting. Mm-hmm. It's self-sabotage.
Well, and kids nowadays, too, this includes teenagers. They have not been taught how to even communicate, though. They haven't been taught, when you sit down, you make eye contact. We're having, you and I are having this conversation. You know, you look directly at that person. Because when we go out to restaurants, you look over at the next table, and literally, four people at a table, every one of them is on their phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
None of them are talking. None of them are visiting.
Right.
They're texting each other instead of doing this whole communication thing. Yeah. And that is so, so, so important for development.
Oh,
and
for
it also helps with the hearing. So a couple of shows ago, we had brought up the fact that instead of asking somebody, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Because, I'm fine.
Right.
Everybody's fine. It's all good. But that's our reflex because, like you're saying, nobody wants to tell somebody how they're actually doing. So a better way to ask them is, how are you feeling today?
Yeah.
Because that opens up and says, hey, I'm actually a safe place.
Right.
I am here to listen to you. And so that just simple thing, too, goes along with what Donna is saying those.
Yeah.
We listen. We have to hear people.
Right.
And put your phones down. Sometimes my kids will be, and I'm working, so I'm have to do something on my phone or get back to somebody when I'm at home, and they'll come up, mom, and they'll be like, I need your attention. I'm like, hang on 1 second. I'm actually working. Give me 1 second and then I'll put my phone down. I'm not just playing a game on my phone. So then I finish what I'm doing and then I put my phone down. What did you need?
Right.
But it also teaches them, it's the whole interrupting thing.
Yes.
The kids come up, hey, give me a second because I actually am in the middle of something important.
Right.
I'm not just playing on my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are times because, you know, you're having a conversation and the kids run in, hey, mom. It's like, hang on, you're interrupting.
Yeah.
Right. I need you to stop for a second. But again, it's part of that social etiquette and teaching.
Teaching them.
Talking about balance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And to be observant. You know the temperature of the room. So
absolutely.
Read the room.
You know, something Donna was talking about, whenever I was researching this, I'd got some, you know, church friends, family, whatever, and I texted them, hey, we're going to do a show about social etiquette. Tell me what pets your peeves. And a friend of mine, you know, because you were talking about listening to respond instead of listening to actually listen, Josh said that he likes to assume when he's in a conversation with somebody that they are going to tell him something that he has never heard or doesn't know. So it's kind of like he's mining for knowledge diamonds, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're listening to a conversation, it's like not waiting to just interject my opinion or my thought, but, you know, to get something from it that you can take.
Absolutely. Sometimes if you just take the time to listen.
Yeah.
You'll learn something.
Right, right.
Imagine that.
Go figure. Are you listening? Can you hear me now?
Well, and we even have the saying at work, and I even do this with the kids. So if the kid is getting in trouble or we're trying to teach them something, I will tell them the directions or I'll give them the specifics of what I'm trying to convey, and then I'll have them do that whole thing where repeat back to me what I just
what
said.
What did you hear me tell
what
you?
What did you just hear me say? What did you learn from what I just said? And see if they can put it, you know, into their own
it's
words.
It's kind of like the
drive-thru.
You know, repeat my order back to me. Not that I go to a drive-thru because I don't. I just want to clarify that. Not that I'm above it. But, you know, this is my order. Repeat back to me what you heard me say.
Absolutely.
To make sure that when I get to the window, you have the things that I've asked for, you know, drive-through communication.
So we are really close to running out of time, but we haven't even began to touch even more of some of these social etiquette things that you can be taught, like your social bubble. People like to come into your social bubble, and then even simple please and thank you, or making eye contact to your server and saying, thank you for bringing me more refills, or how to even talk to them. So we are going to come back next week. Would that be okay with everyone? We need to finish covering this. So please join us again next week. Thank you so much for joining us in the Simply His Coffee Shop. We'll see you next week.